All right, we are on Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. We are on the fourth line, Itmar. Wrapping up Hilchos Mezuzah here before we go on to Tefillin. Yeah, Itmar. Lul Pasuach Min Abayis LaAliyah. A lul in this case means an opening. Not a chicken coop. And if you take a look at Rashi, he gives you a full description of how they did this. Zehu Darkon, Aruba Be'emtza Ha'aliyah. You would have a skylight of sorts in the middle of the floor, of the upper floor, right? We've seen that before. Tumantara comes up in terms of Vahalos a lot. So you have a hole in the floor of the upper floor. Va'olam min abayis b'malos. And there's a staircase that leads up to the upper floor. That's your method of ascending. Va'osin dalad mechitzos. We're in Rashi, the third line. Va'osin dalad mechitzos saviv ha'malos. And the idea is you have an enclosure at the bottom of the staircase, because you don't want people just coming down and barging into your lower floor, so you have an enclosure, and there's a door, and you can lock the door in order to keep people out. And you have an opening in it. And the same thing is true on the upstairs. They do the same thing. And Pesach, they also have an enclosure around the area where you emerge from the staircase. And again, they have an opening in there, and they can lock it if they choose to. So in other words, what you basically have is an enclosed staircase. You have a door at the bottom. You have a door at the top. That's what we're describing. So in such a case, back in the Gemara, at the end of the fourth line, Amar Rav Huna, im yeshlo pesach echad, chaya b'mezuzah achas. Im yeshlo beis pesach in chaya b'shtei mezuzos. He says that you will require mezuzos for each doorway in these enclosures. You have two doorways, you require two mezuzos. You have one door, you require one mezuzah. Amar Rav Papa, shmami na mid Rav Huna, hai inderona, de islay arba abavi, chaya b'ba mezuzos. So he says, well, if in that case, if you have an inderona, remember we said yesterday, is an inner room, a room that doesn't open to the outside. It's an unusual thing for them. All their rooms had windows. Everything had a window view. The idea of a structure with an internal area that doesn't open anywhere, to them, is counterintuitive. It's like a cave. That's the term inderona that we use. It suggests a cave blocked off from light and air. So he says, if you have an inderona with four doorways, so chai bar mezuzas. That means you would need four mezuzas. To which the Gemara says, pshita. Well, of course, why not? So the lesson is, even if you are rugil in one of them, all of them need mezuzah. Now the question is, what does rugil mean? Because you'll remember that we saw the Gemara back on Lamed Gimel just yesterday, where we said we do go with the rugil. Right? So much so that it sounded like if you have one entrance that's the normal one and one entrance that's the not normal one, you only put a mezuzah on the regular entrance. We had that with Rebbe and Rav Huna going into the Beis Medrash. So Rashi explains the difference between what we said yesterday and what we're saying today. Rashi an afagav derugil b'chad minayhu tfei. This is Rashi's first approach. Even if you use one more than you use the others, you still put the mezuzah on both. When we said yesterday that you go with the rugil one, that's the one that gets the mezuzah. That's where you have only two entrances, and you normally use one of them. So the other one is batel. So if there are two entrances, and I only use one of them regularly, the other one I don't really use as much as I use this one, then in fact, the one that I use more frequently is the one that gets the mezuzah, and the other one doesn't get it at all. But if you're dealing with four entrances into this inderona, so you have three versus one, lo batli. We're not going to say that all three don't require a mezuzah, and only that fourth one gets a mezuzah. It's a matter of how many entrances there are. Where there are two, you principally use one, that one needs a mezuzah, the other one does not. Where there are four, and you principally use one, all of them require a mezuzah. You can't tell me that this one trumps all the other three. That's Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi gives you a second explanation. Lishnach rina mitshuvas haga'onim. Halach acha haragil. No. Single owner for all intents and purposes. Like in our house case here, the bayis and the aliyah could be property of two different people. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. But you can't say that it's talking about the upper floor versus the lower floor being more rugil, because it makes no sense. You can't go into the staircase without coming out the other side. So it must be talking about even multiple entrances within a single floor where it's the same vowel. So he says, Mitshuvas Achir HaGaonim, I'll give you a second view. Halachacha HaRagil, Shai HaRagil, Shabnei Adam Ragilim, Latzeis V'lovo Bo, the one that people normally use, not at the expense of the other ones, but just in general. Ulma'ute Pischa de Rebbe, as opposed to Rebbe's entrance, She'eno Oso Yelolo Levado, which was just for him personally. Ule'suye Pischa de Rav Huna, Shai HaRagil Af La'Acherim, and to include Rav Huna's entrance to the base Medrash, which other people used as well. So in other words, Ragil isn't about, I have one doorway I use more than the others, it's I have a doorway that people normally use. If you have a doorway that people normally use, then it needs a mezuzah. If I have five doorways and people normally use them, all of them require a mezuzah. If I have five doorways and only one of them is normally used, that's the one that requires a mezuzah. That's what we were saying on the previous page, halachachar haragil, that if it's normal, forget more used than other doorways. That's not the point. It isn't a relative thing. It's, do people use this doorway? Aval, but in our case, beis psachim o gimel cheder echad, if you have two or three entrances into the staircase, v'chula nasu lebias kol b'nei abayis, and all of them are used by people who are members of the household, shayim merubin, there are a lot of people, v'tashish b'cheder echad tadir, and people use this room a lot, v'hutzuchula psachim harbe, such that you need many entrances, kulan chayavim b'mezuzah, then all of them will require a mezuzah, Rashi says. And even if times change and people are not using the door with the door with the same frequency, nonetheless, the need for the mezuzah remains. So what Rashi tells me here is that there are two ways to take this phrase halachacha haragil that we used back on Lamed Gimel. One way is I put the mezuzah on the doorway which is used more than the others are, even if the others are in use, so long as you don't have too many doorways that you're nullifying by doing that. That's one approach. And then the second approach in Rashi is all doorways that are used regularly by more than one person, they should require a mezuzah. As long as they are used normally. He doesn't tell you what regularly means. He doesn't tell you what normally means. Is it once a day? Is it once
a
week?
That's the issue, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And Rashi's not going to tell you that, sorry. The certain information has to be withheld. That's what we get here. So, back in our Gemara then, the lesson we learned from Rav Huna is that yes, every single doorway will need to have a mezuzah in this case, even if you normally use one of them more, as long as people regularly use the as long as people regularly use them, going with the second view in Rashi, as opposed to the first view in Rashi, which means then that all of them require it because there are so many that we're not going to nullify them to the one that gets used. Okay, two different views in Rashi. Right there in the Gemara. Amar Amemar. Hai pischa da'akarna chai b'mezuzah. Amemar says, if you have a door that's actually not a door at all, what you have is a gap in the corner of a building. Yesterday we talked about Pesach Shacharei Adelet, where they met at the corner and there was a post at the corner dividing between the two sides. Here, that's not our case. Our case here is your house has a wall here and a wall here, and then the corner is open. If you remember from Erevin, the discussions there came up in Erevin as well, whether you have doorways on corners. So here, if you have an opening in the corner of a house without any door frame, Chayav b'mezuzah. Amemar says, requires a mezuzah. Amar le'Rav Ashi la'Amemar, v'ales le'Ptzimin. So what Rav Ashi says, what are you talking about? There are no doorposts. Amar le, adi p'tzimi. He says, yeah, there are. Of course there are doors. Adi Rash says, it's haray. Of course there are doorways. The end of the wall serves as a doorpost. You don't require anything jutting out. That's Amemar's position. I don't require anything protruding to serve as a doorpost. More about this need for doorposts. Rav Papa, or it should really be Rav Murray, if you see the inside margin, they change it to Rav Murray, and that's what the riff on the Rush had. And the way you know that is because it's going to have an encounter here between Rav Papa and Shmuel, and Rav Papa never met Shmuel. The Doros just don't work. Rav Murray works. So that's who it should be. Rav Murray igla lebei Mar Shmuel. Rav Murray goes to the house of Mar Shmuel, which is Shmuel, that's who we mean. Chazahu pischa delo havale ela ptsim echad mismala vavidale mezuzah. He saw a doorway which, number one, only had one doorpost, and number two, the doorpost was on the left, and yet it had a mezuzah. Amalei kiman. So Rav Murray says to Shmuel, "What are you doing? Why do you have it? Who are you following here when you put a mezuzah on that entrance?" Ke Rabbi Meir. The answer is we follow Rabbi Meir, who we'll see in several more lines. Amar Dama Rabbi Meir Miyamin, to which he says, Rabbi Meir only says that a doorway with one post requires a mezuzah, but he means the one that's on the right side. Mismo Miyamar, does he do it where it's on the left? Ma'i, the Gemara asks, what's his preference for the right side anyway? Disanya, it's the following brisa. Beisecha, you put the mezuzah, you put it on mezuzos beisecha of your house. We take beisecha and have a play on words. Bi'ascha, your entrance, min hayamin, from the right side. Ataomer min hayamin, oenu ala mismo. Why? Why shouldn't it be on the left side? Tamalomar beisecha. That's how I know. To which the Gemara says, what? My Talmudah, what did you learn? Where did that come from? I totally missed that. So, Amar Rabba, Derech Bi'ascha Min Hayamin. Rabba explains, your path of entrance is from the right side. D'chi Akar Inish Karei, when a person picks up his foot, D'yamina Akar, they add in the word Beresha. He picks up his right foot first. I saw a discussion about whether a lefty then would put his mezuzahs on the other side of the doorframe. The answer is no. We all put them on the right side, because you pick up your right foot first, that's bi'ascha, that's beisecha. So therefore, the upshot for us is that it really should be on the right side, and therefore your mezuzah shouldn't, if you have one doorpost and it's on the left side, you shouldn't have a mezuzah.
So lefty moves his left foot first?
I'll tell you the truth. I haven't studied this. We should do. We should put people by the entrance to the shul and watch them come in for minyan in the morning and see which foot they pick up when they stop to open the door, and then they start moving again and see which foot they pick up first. Watch the videos.
Why should we need different
hands? Because tefillin has an entirely different logic. Tefillin is yad cha and yad keha. We'll see that in the Gemara.
Stronger arm.
Yeah, but I would have thought you push off maybe from your right, and then you move
watch
your left.
And watch a baseball game. We'll see
again. Yeah, watch how the runners do it, right? Okay. Rav Shmuel bar Acha kamei de Rav Papa mishmei de Rav bar Ula amar mehacha. Different source. Vayikachi ha-yoda ha-kohen aron echad vayikavchor bedalto, to collect the silver. Yehoyada took a box, made a hole in it, Vaitena so etel ha-mizbeach miyamin, he put it on the right side by the mizbeach, Bevo ish beis Hashem, V'nos nishama kohanim shomrei asaf es kol ha-kesef ha-muva beis Hashem. The point is, he put it on the right side approaching the mizbeach, because that's your entering side. That's what we do. And we know about this whole idea that the turns that you make should be to the right. Also, that's a separate thing really though. Correct. Because I think it's a separate principle. It's about Kedusha there, not about physical movement.
When we get on the Mizbeach, right on the right.
Yeah. Correct. But so he says, my Rabbi Meir, where did we get this Rabbi Meir piece? I understand where you get the right side from, but where do you get this idea that you put up a mezuzah if you only have one doorpost? This Anya, the following brisa, Bayis Shein Lo Ela Petzim Echad, if a house has an entry and there's only one doorpost, Rabbi Meir Machai B'mezuzah V'chacham, poetry, and Rabbi Meir says, you put up a mezuzah, the Chacham say, no, you don't. My time at the Rabbanon, why the Rabbanon say no? Mizuzos Ksiv, that's plural. My time at Rabbi Meir, this Anya, mizuzos, Shomeani miut mezuzos shtayim. The Torah says mezuzos plural, so I assume that that means two as a minimum. Kishuor mezuzos parsha shnia. Then the Torah says mezuzos beisecha again when you get to v'hayim shamoa. Shein tamad lomar, didn't need to be there. Have a riboy acha riboy. Right, you're expanding two and then another two. Vein riboy acha riboy elalemait. That means really it's a double negative, except that it's a double positive. It's meant to reduce. Miatav kasev lemezuzah achas divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says that teaches me even a single doorpost requires it. Rabbi Akiva Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Akiva says you don't need to go there. Kishua Omer, regarding Karban Pesach, it says, Al HaMashkof, you put the dam on the Mashkof, V'al Shtei HaMezuzos, and on the two doorposts. Shein Tamal Omer Shtei, you didn't need the word Shtei, because Mezuzos is plural already, Rashi explains. Matamal Omer Shtei, Zeb Bono Av, that gives me a rule, Komakam Shnemar Mezuzos, Eino Ala Achas, Ad Shifari Lecha Kosev Shtayim. By definition, even one. So therefore, if you have an entrance with only one doorpost, it still requires a mezuzah. So from Rabbi Meir, I get that it should be a doorpost. But I still assume bi'ascha is yamin, and therefore, I challenge Shmuel, why is Shmuel putting the mezuzah on the doorframe, where he only has one doorpost and it's on the left side, and they don't answer. They leave it as an open question.
How do we rationalize that? If there's only one doorpost, and you hold that one doorpost, the chum doesn't need a mezuzah.
Yeah.
So how does the house get protection?
How does that, so the answer must be they don't need protection, no?
And when the Mitzrayim, would they do the only one door post on the house?
Then you wouldn't put the dam on it, no? I think that's what he's saying.
Is that a problem?
Well, I think it's unusual. Their assumption is that entryways into houses have multiple doorposts. That's the assumption, is that you make a real frame when you're doing that. And the truth is, by our construction, we have these cases all the time of one doorpost, but they're always internal.
What about Marisayan? Is that ever
entered? Apparently not. The assumption is that everybody knows that this shouldn't require it. The assumption is that people are aware of the halacha, but it's a good question. It comes up internally a lot, where you're worried that people aren't going to realize, yeah, this doesn't really require a mezuzah, because people aren't versed in it. Tanu Rabbanan, we now discuss the materials you use for the mezuzah. Uchsav tam, the Braisa draws on the pasuk, uchsav tam, you shall write them. Yochol yichtevena ala avanim, I might think you could write it on stone. Ne'mar kan k'siva, v'ne'mar laholon k'siva. Here the Torah says to write, there it says to write. Rashi says that's talking about get. The chasav la sefer krisus. The Tosfos says it can't be, because for reasons we'll see in a moment. But rather it's talking about Parsha Sota, or the king writing Mishnah Torah, writing the double Sefer Torah for himself. But the Gemara says, Ma laholan ala sefer, afkan ala sefer. There it's on a sefer, here too it's on a sefer. So you can't write your mezuzah on stone. Tosfos says, that's how I know it's not get, because get can be written on all sorts of materials. It doesn't have to be sefer.
Okalach l'der... The Gemara is how many that I've done, it means on the doorpost. On the doorpost? Or
hang on, wait, when...
Stone,
right, so wait just a few more lines. Good question. Or maybe you should go this way. Nemar kan ksiva v'nemar lahalan ksiva. Here it says ksiva, and there it says ksiva as well. Ma lahalan ala avanim, afkan ala avanim. When the Jews enter Eretz Yisrael, it says you write the Torah out on stones. So too over here, I would think maybe you do it on you do it on stones. The nira lemidoma. Well, let's see. To what way you compare this? Donin ksiva noagis ledoros, miksiva noagis ledoros. You talk about the writing that's going to happen all for all time, not the writing they did once when they entered Eretz Yisrael. Right? The examples, either Rashi's example of get, or the example of the king or the sota, that's really applicable to doros. And also, we've now drawn a pasuk from Baruch ben Neriya. This is our second use of that pasuk. The He says that I wrote it meant ala sefer on the scroll b'dio with ink. So that teaches me a separate thing, really. It's the requirement for dio. But Amar le Rav Acha b'rei de Rava le Rav Ashi. Rav Acha b'rei de Rava says to Rav Ashi, Rachmana Amar. This is now my second approach. My first approach was uchsav tam, and we connect it to writing elsewhere that's on a sefer. My second approach, and this goes back to Matel's question, Rachmana Amar al mezuzos. Ve'at amrit nelev ksiva ksiva. He says, I don't understand. The Torah says al mezuzos, which sounds like, as Rashi says, write it mamash on the doorpost. Right? Rashi says demash lechasva al hasaf mamash. That's where it should be. So amar kra uchsav tam. He says, I get it from uchsav tam ksiva tama, a perfect writing. And as Rashi says, you can't do a perfect writing on wood and on stone. Lots of luck. Vahadar al mezuzos, and then put it on the mezuzah. So first you do ksiva tama, then you put it on the mezuzah. Oh, then what do I need ksiva ksiva for? Ilav gzera shava. If not for the gzera shava, hava amina, I would have said lichtava avna velik be'e asifa. I would have said write it on a piece of stone and then put it up on the doorway. Kamash malan, and Rashi explains how would I get a ksiva tama. He says you would engrave it in a knife, because once I don't use ksiva ksiva, it doesn't have to be dio. So I could carve it into stone and then put it on the doorpost. That would be ksiva tama. Kamash malan, ksiva ksiva. No, it's not going on that. It's going on parchment. Okay. Now, that concludes our discussion of mezuzah. We now move on to tefillin, and tefillin will take us through the rest of the perek, which is the rest of the week. Arba parashio, then the next perek is...
If you do it right on the doorpost, why don't you do it also, carve it out? That would be ksiva tama. Why does Rashi only say this only on the stone that you're placing...
Because this is when we talked about doing it without the Gzera Shava. The first approach that we had assumed that the Gzera Shava was there. Now he said, well, what do I need the Gzera Shava for? And he says, without the Gzera Shava, then I would have carved it. And then I would have had Ksiva Tama. I believe that's the way he's
doing it. On the doorpost, why don't you just carve it out?
So that's because Ksiva Ksiva requires that it be Ala Sefer B'dio. That's what the Gezeirah Shavah accomplishes. Ksiva is that has to be ink on the parchment, and then the order of Uchsavtam, and then Al Mizuzos tells me also, sort of like the Tasev Lomena Asui argument from yesterday, that you have to write it down first and then put it up, and you don't do it. In other words, if I had a doorframe that was parchment, I couldn't write it directly on the doorframe. I have to write it on something separate and then put it up. Okay. Even one piece of writing is a firm requirement, and here we get the same thing we said already earlier on. Pshita, the Gemara says, obviously you require every letter. It teaches you about kutzo shel yud, which we explained either means the right leg of the yud, or it means the curvature of the yud on top, the way that it bends downward as it goes forward. So he says, "Va'nami pshita." That's obvious too. Of course, we need that. Lo nitzurcha el idach to Rabbi Yehuda. You're right. We need it for a different lesson of Rabbi Yehuda. Dam Rabbi Yehuda Marav Kol Os Shein Gvil Mukaf Lamabar Ruchosab Sulos. We require Hekev Gvil. Good. Tana Rabbanan. Bryce says, "Lamedalad Amidvis." Litotafos, litotafos, litotafos. Classic, right? You remember this from Sanhedrin. We also had it back in Zvachim. The Torah says Latota Fos, and the way that we write it, we have Latot, it's written once chaser, lacking, right? It's written lacking, and then it's written also with a vav in Tota Fos. So I have it tatpas, and totefes, really. Harekan Dalid Diva Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that teaches me to do four. So it's four parshios in four boxes on the Shel Rosh. That's really the key for us. That's the way that he explains it. Rabbi Akiva says, you don't need that. Tat bekatfi shtayim, pat bafriki shtayim, tat and kat and pat are both terms used in other languages for two. So tat pas, tatefes, is four. And the Tosus explains that really, even if you put in a vav, it shouldn't be plural. It's still totefet. It's not totafot. The vav that's there is between the two tets. It's not between the pay and the tough. So you suggest gorin or mosifin vidorshin. You take the opening vav and you move it to the end, and therefore it's like totafos. Tosus has that question. The Shla explains, as a classic idea, that when you have a foreign language appear in the Torah, it's because it started in Hebrew and then migrated to the other language. In other words, he's not saying that Moshe took totafos and explained to the Jews, yes, in African tongues this means too, but that it was actually part of Hebrew, and people were familiar with it as Hebrew. The Berditchever says, in the Kedushas Levi in Parshas Devarim, that a nation's language is its life. And Hashem wanted us to know the languages of other nations also, so that when we live in Golos among them, we will have a hold on their life as well. Because we will know their language. That's why he gave us Yagar Sahadusa in Aramaic. That gave us all the Aramaic we needed, I guess. I don't know. And Tat and Kad. Now I know the languages of Africa.
The Ezra says one is the language of Upper Egypt, the other is the language of Lower Egypt, and was the crown of the Pharaoh.
Was the Totefet?
He wore the two symbols of Upper and Lower Egypt.
Ah, that's interesting. Positive. Very interesting. Where does Ibn Ezra do that? In Parshas Bo?
Yeah.
Interesting. Shkoyach. The Tosfos also explains here the meaning of Totefet and of Tefillin. He says Totefet is either the top of the head or to gaze. The idea being as Bnei Necha in the eyes on top, and Tefillin, he says, is an expression of demonstrating to others, like Vayifalel, to argue with others, because the Tefillin, you show them, at least the Rosh anyway, to the world, and Vayaru Mimeka, so that's supposed to be this expression to the world. He doesn't explain what the word phylacteries means. That he doesn't, that far he doesn't go. So Tanu Rabbanon. I might think, if you're telling me it's four boxes, that means that you should write the parchments, you should write the parshios on four separate parchments and put them in four boxes, each one made out of a separate piece of hide. No. Ulazikaron, a memorial between your eyes. Zichron echad amarti lecha velo beis v'gimel zichronos. One zikaron, one box. Hakeitzad, so how do you do this? Kosvan al arba oros, you you write it on four parchments. You put it on four boxes, but all made out of a single piece of hide. That's the way it's supposed to be. Rashi explains, they take a calf, they strip the calf of the hide. Or you take a piece of hide, possibly arba etzbaos, and you put it into a mold which already has the four pieces of it shaped. It dries out on the mold so that it's now holding the shape. The nolas ad tefus, you remove the form. The nasimbatim elayin, and that's the way you have your boxes. Right? You've all seen film demonstrations, perhaps they show you how they make it. Vim ksavan, back in the Gemara, vim ksavan ba'or echad v'inichan ba'arba batim yatsa. However, he says, if you write the parshios on four separate pieces of parchment, and then you put them into if you write them all on one parchment, and you put them in the four batim that way, yatsa, you still fulfilled your obligation. V'tsarach she'e revach bein... So right now he has not yet said to cut it. Hang in there. The v'tzarach shei revach beinayan, there has to be a space between them, divrei Rebbe, and Rashi explains on tzarach shei revach bein parshios, kishayichtevim, when he actually writes them, I'm using the Bach's edition, kishayichtevim bor echad, if he writes it all on one parchment, shela achar shekasvan in the Bach, yachtov milamala ha'or kemin arba parshios umanichan barba batim, then he'll have to cut between them. So he's saying, it has to be on four separate parchments when it goes into the tefillin. You wrote it on one parchment, you have to cut it. That's what he now introduces as Rebbe's position. You need space in order to cut it. And the Chacham say, no, you do not need to cut it. V'shavin shenosin chut o meshicha bein kol achas v'achas v'mein charitza nikar psulos. They agree that between each of the batim in the shel rosh, you put a string of some kind as a divider. And if you can't tell, looking at it outside, you can't tell that they're four separate batim, it's no good. You must have this very visible division between each of the batim. Tana Rabbanon. Brisa now says, Ketzav Kosvan, how do you write the parshios of the tefillin? So, Tfilah shel Yad kosva alor echad. The Yad one is all written on one parchment. Vim ksava ba'arba oros v'inicha v'bayis echad yatsa. If you wrote it on four parchments and put them all in one box, you're fine. However, v'tzarech ledabek, just like we talked about Rebbe's view, you need to cut in the shel rosh. Here, you need to stick them together in the shel yad. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, v'yalacha leos al yadcha, a sign on your arm. Kishem she'os achas mibachutz, kachos achas mibifnim. One os inside and out. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. I don't know what he would use to stick them together. I don't know what you would actually do. He does say, you're right, thank you. Bitfiro bedevek shekarin glued. Okay, they would be glued. Yes, he does say it. Good. So you would actually need to merge it together according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, I know Tzarek. Rabbi Yossi says you don't need to do that. Omer Rabbi Yossi, umodeli Rabbi Yehuda b'Rebbe. Rabbi Yossi said, Rabbi Yehuda the Tamar Chacham, b'Rebbe doesn't mean son of Rebbe. Rabbi Yehuda b'Rebbe means Rabbi Yehuda the Tamar Chacham, agrees with me, shim eimo tefillin shal yad, that if you're missing the hand tefillin, v'yesh lo shtei tefillin shal rosh, but you have two head tefillin ones, shetola or al achas mehen, umanicha, so you put a hide over one of them, and use that as your shel yad, even though the cloth inside is not stuck together. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Moda, he agrees. Hainu puktayu. That was their machlokas, whether you could do that. So Amar Rava midvar Rabbi Yosi chazed bar Rabbi Yehuda. So Rava says, it appears that Rabbi Yehuda actually recanted. That's what Rabbi Yosi is trying to tell me. To which he says, really? Ini? Is that really so? Vashalach Rav Chananya mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan tefillin shel yad osin osa shel rosh. You can turn the yad into the rosh. Vishal rosh ain osin osa shel yad, but you can't turn the tefillin shel rosh into the shel yad. Lefisha ain moridin mikdusha chamur lekdusha kala. Because you can't descend in kedusha, the shel rosh is on the head and is considered to be of a greater kedusha. Rashi says, because the majority of the name shin dalad yud is made on the shel rosh. He says, you have the shin and you have the dalad there. The arm one only has the yud, as the Gemara will discuss later on. That's what makes it a greater kedusha. But the point is, how could you tell me that you could switch your shel rosh to your shel yad just by putting a piece of hide on it? You're reducing the kedusha. You can't do that. Lo kasha, that's no problem. It depends on whether it had that kedusha in the first place. Ha batikta ha bechadtisa. It depends on whether you're dealing with one that was already used once, so now it had the kedusha of the shalrosh. Then you're right, it can't become a shalyad. Or you're dealing with one that's brand new, in which case it had never been used as a shalrosh, and therefore you could convert it to a shalyad according to Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi says Rabbi Yehuda agrees with him. The ulaman damar hazmana milsei, and according to the view that actually dedicating it is what makes it one or the other, da'as ni'ala you may, and therefore even if you didn't use it yet, it's already a shalrosh, I'll still tell you, da'as ni'ala you may kara, where you made it tonight, when you first created it, that it could become one, it could become the other. Okay, classic brisa now, I brought you four different shitos in how to explain it, the first two are the most famous, the Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzad Sidron, what's the order of the parshios in the tefillin? Kadesh li, v'haya ki yivyacha miyamin, shma v'haya im shamoa mismol. So I would have thought this would be very easy to explain, right? It says it right there. This is your order of your parshios. Kadesh li kobachorn vayaki viyacha from the end of parshios bo are on the right. Shma from vayeschanan vayimishmo is ekev. Mismol on the left. That's the way that you do it. So the Gemara asks, and we'll come back to that in a moment. Vatanya ibcha, but I have a brisa that says the opposite order. Amarabaye lo kasha. Rabbi says, that's no problem. Kan mi mino shokare, kan mi mino shalmeniach. It depends on who's looking at it. The onlooker, right? Like the menorah. It's the onlooker, or it's the person wearing it. Vakore, kore, kisidron. The principle is, the one who's reading it, reads it in the proper order. So Rashi says, what that means is, the onlooker looks at the tefillin, and says, I can read it in order, the way it appears in the Torah. Parshas Bo, Veschanan, right to left. Parshas Bo, the two from Bo, then Veschanan, and then Ekev, Azoi, that's it. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't like that, because Rabbeinu Tam says, then why do we group it by twos? Right? It should have been just Kadesh Reyaki V'yach HaShemavayim Shema. So Rabbeinu Tam says that it's the two outside in and then the two outside in. So Kadesh Reyaki V'yach right to left, and then on the other side, Shema is on the outside and then V'hayim Shema. The problem is both of those are predicated on a certain reading of the Kan here. Kan of Meniach, Kan of the person who is the onlooker. If you switch those, then you end up reversing everything. And that's how you get the other two views. The Ravid takes Rashi's view and just does it from left to right. So he has Kadesh Reyaki V'yacha Shema V'hayim Shema going left to right, and the Shemusha Rabba, which is a sefer that's quoted in the Rush about the laws of Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah, so he takes the view of Rabbeinu Tam, but again left to right. The I'm sorry.
Rabba not Rabbeinu Tam. Shema Shema the outside.
Rava is like
Ravid,
it.
Ravid, the
Ravid. Oh, the Ravid. No, the Ravid is like Rashi.
Rashi, the Shema Shema the two sides.
Oh, you no. What did I do here? You're right. The Ravid takes Rashi's view and reverses it. No. I'm sorry. I have it. Ravid takes Rashi's view and reverses it. The Shemusha Rabba takes a bit of Tom's view and reverses it.
But he only reads literally.
Sorry.
Shemusha Rabba reads the Gemara literally.
What do you mean?
In the order the Gemara presents it. Kadosh Li, Vayikiv Yachah, Shmava, Miyamin.
Yeah. No, he's not.
1, 2, 3, 4, right?
No, he's going. Shemusha Rabba is going out of order. He's taking Rabbeinu Tam's idea that you're going from the outside in. Shema, Kadesh and Vayaki V'yacha, outside and then inside, and Shema and Vayim Shemoa, outside and then inside.
But if you're reading from right to left, he does it exactly.
But it's not. Right to left should be. No, because right to left should be Kadesh first on the right, the way Rashi has it. Kadesh is Parshas Bo. So you want it right to left. Kadesh Vayaki V'yacha Shema V'hayim Shemoa. Rashi is the
Kadesh Vayaki V'yacha one.
No. You know why? Because you're reading the shard. I'm the onlooker's view means that Kadesh, where I put Kadesh, is the rightmost column. Where I put Kadesh for Rashi is the rightmost column. The Shemusha Rabba says your rightmost column is Shema. That's the idea. They give you all four shitos? They give you all four? Oh, I was redundant. All right. No, Rosh Hashivanti. One last point. Amar Chananel Amar Rav. First of two statements from Rav Chananel citing Rav, but the one that we'll do today. He says, Hechlef Parshioseh Psulos. He says, if you do the Parshios out of order, it's no good. Amar Abaye, lo Amar Nele Gviasa Lebraisa, o Braisa Legviasa. Abaye says, that's specifically if you took the outside one and made it internal, or took the internal one and made it outside, one of the middle ones and made it an outer one. But not if the outside one ends up being the outside just on the opposite side, or the internal one's got shuffled, that's okay. Amar le Rava, Maishna Gviasa le Braiso, Braiso Gviasa de Lo. Rava says, why? What's the difference? You switch the place. And the Ach de Boy, the Mechze Avira Loka Chazia, Vahad de Loka Boy, Mechze Avira Kachazia. Is your issue that some of them are supposed to, so to speak, see the air and some are not? Braiso le Braiso, Gviasa Gviasa Nami. Ach de Boy, le Mechze Avira de Amin, Kachazia Avira de Small, de Small Kachazia Avira de Amin. Even if you just switch the internals or the externals, they're still seeing the wrong side, right? Your externals are on the wrong side of the outside. Ela Loshna, Rava says there is no distinction. You have to put them all in the right place, and we'll pick up with that, God willing, tomorrow. All right.